Welcome to day 138 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland at Hidden with Christ Ministries here in Southern California. And if you've been tracking with us for all of these 138 broadcasts, you have completed more than 4.5 months of your year going through the Word of God. So congratulations for that accomplishment. And it no doubt is a blessing to your spirit to have the Word of God being read and you hearing it, because the scripture tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Today we are reading, and this week we've been reading from the Amplified Bible. Today we will read 6 of the Psalms which were written by King David. So beginning at Psalm 26, starting at verse 1. Psalm 26, a Psalm of David, verse 1. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have expectantly trusted in, leaned on, and relied on the Lord without wavering, and I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Test my heart and my mind. For your loving kindness is before my eyes. I have walked in your truth faithfully. I do not sit with false persons, nor fellowship with pretenders. I hate the company of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, that I may make the voice of thanksgiving heard and may tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Gather me not with sinners and sweep me not away with them, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is wickedness and their right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful and gracious to me. My foot stands on an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Psalm 40, to the chief musician, a Psalm of David, verse 1. I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up out of a horrible pit, a pit of tumult and of destruction, out of the miry clay, froth and slime, and set my feet upon a rock, steadying my steps and establishing my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and fear, revere and worship, and put their trust and confident reliance in the Lord. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man who makes the Lord his refuge and trust, and turns not to the proud or to followers of false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. No one can compare with you. If I should declare and speak of them, they are too many to be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, nor have you delight in them. You have given me the capacity to hear and obey. Your law, a more valuable service than burnt offerings and sin offerings, which you do not require. Then said I, behold, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Yes, your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great assembly, tidings of uprightness and right standing with God. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not concealed your righteousness within my heart. I have proclaimed your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not hid away your steadfast love and your truth from the great assembly. Withhold not your tender mercy from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken such hold on me that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me and forsaken me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and confounded together who seek and require my life to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil and delight in my hurt. Let them be desolate by reason of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek and require you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. As for me, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord takes thought and plans for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Oh my God, do not tarry. Psalm 58, to the chief musician, set to the tune of Do Not Destroy, a record of memorable thoughts of David. Verse 1. Do you indeed in silence speak righteousness, O you mighty ones? Or is the righteousness, rightness, and justice you should speak quite dumb? Do you judge fairly and uprightly, O you sons of men? No, in your heart you devise wickedness. You deal out in the land the violence of your hands. The ungodly are perverse and estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the venom of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder or asp that stops its ear, which listens not to the voice of charmers or of the enchanter, never casting spells so cunningly. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouths. Break out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as water which runs on apace. When he aims his arrows, let them be as if they were headless or split apart. Let them be as a snail dissolving slime as it passes on, or as a festering sore which wastes away, like the child to which a woman gives untimely birth that has not seen the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns that are placed under them for fuel, he will take them away as with a whirlwind, the green and the burning ones alike. The unyieldingly righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. Men will say, surely there is a reward for the uncompromisingly righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on the earth. Psalm 61, to the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed and fainting, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Yes, a rock that is too high for me. For you have been a shelter and a refuge for me, a strong tower against the adversary. I will dwell in your tabernacle forever. Let me find refuge and trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear, revere, and honor your name. May you prolong the true king's life, adding days upon days, and may his years be to the last generation of this world and the generations of the world to come. May he sit enthroned forever before the face of God. O ordain that loving kindness and faithfulness may watch over him. So will I sing praise to your name forever, paying my vows day by day. Psalm 62, to the chief musician, according to Jeduthun, Ethan, the noted musician, founder of an official musical family, a psalm of David. Verse 1. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my defense and my fortress. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you set upon a man that you may slay him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They only consult to cast him down from his height, to dishonor him. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Pause and calmly think of that. My soul, wait only upon God and silently submit to Him, for my hope and expectation are from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense and my fortress. I shall not be moved. With God rests my salvation and my glory. He is my rock of unyielding strength and impenetrable hardness, and my refuge is in God. Trust in, lean on, rely on, and have confidence in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us, a fortress and a high tower. Selah. Pause and calmly think of that. Men of low degree in the social scale are emptiness, futility, a breath. And men of high degree in the same scale are a lie and a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Trust not in and rely confidently not on extortion and oppression. And do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belong mercy and loving kindness, for you render to every man according to his work. Psalm 64. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Guard and preserve my life from the terror of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel and conspiracy of the ungodly, from the scheming of evildoers who whet their tongues like a sword, who aim venomous words like arrows, who shoot from ambush at the blameless man. Suddenly do they shoot at him without self-reproach or fear. They encourage themselves in an evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, "Who will discover us?" They think out acts of injustice and say, "We have accomplished a well-devised thing." For the inward thought of each one is unsearchable and his heart is deep. But God will shoot an unexpected arrow at them, and suddenly they shall be wounded. And they will be made to stumble, their own tongues turning against them. All who gaze upon them will shake their heads and flee away. And all men shall reverently fear and be in awe, and they will declare the work of God. For they will wisely consider and acknowledge that it is His doing. The uncompromisingly righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust and take refuge in Him, and all the upright in heart shall glory and offer praise. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on a single verse found in Psalm 40. It is verse 8, and it says, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Yes, your law is within my heart." Think about those words. I delight to do your will, O my God. Can you say that along with David? I delight to do your will, O God. Whatever it is, that's your will. I want to do it. You will remember that Jesus said in the book of Luke, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, struggling with what was about to come in the next day and few days. He was going to be taken, arrested, brought before Herod, brought before Pilate, whipped, carrying a cross, and then nailed to that cross. And that night before, or the very night actually of his arrest, in Luke 22, it says he was kneeling down and praying with blood and perspiration, sweating literally drops of blood, and he prayed, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Like David, he wanted only to do the will of the Father. I like what the Message translation says, translating that same verse. It says, "Father, remove this cup from me, but please, not what I want. What do you want?" And that's the heart that the Lord wants for us, that we have a heart to say, "Lord, not what I want, not my will, but yours. I delight to do your will, oh my God," like David said here in Psalm 40. And I've mentioned to you before that as we have gone through the life of David, we have been uncovering many of David's spiritual secrets. And the truth of the matter is, this is one of the primary spiritual secrets of David, and the reason that he is called a man after God's own heart. In fact, it is written in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." So this idea of doing the will of God, delighting to do the will of God, is very central to why David was referred to by the Lord himself as a man after God's own heart. He delighted to do God's will, not his own will. Not that he was perfect in this. We know that he failed, as we just read about his great sin with Bathsheba and with Uriah the Hittite. But the heart of this man was to do the will of God. There's an old story told of a Scottish woman who went from home to home across the countryside selling thread, buttons, and shoestrings. When she came to an unmarked crossroad, she would toss a stick into the air and go in the direction the stick pointed when it landed. But one day, she was seen tossing the stick up in the air time after time, several times. Finally, someone asked her, "Why do you keep tossing the stick up in the air more than once?" Her reply was, "Because it keeps pointing to the left and I want to take the road on the right." So she kept throwing that stick up into the air until it pointed in the direction she wanted to go. And that's how people are sometimes. They keep asking, maybe praying, hoping to get the answer they want. And they don't stop until they've convinced themselves that God has answered in that direction. And yet, God's waiting for you to simply desire with all your heart to do the will of God, no matter where it takes you. Now, having worked in Africa for the last 10 years, or actually a little more than that, I appreciate this next illustration very much. Dr. David Livingstone, who was a famous missionary pioneer on the continent of Africa and who literally got into the interior of Africa probably before any other Anglo-Saxon man ever did, was asked by a group of friends back in England who asked him if he would like more help. They said to him, "We would like to send other men to you. Have you found a good road into your area yet?" Dr. Livingstone sent this message back to them in reply: "If you have men who will only come if they know that there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all." And this is the Lord's heart as well. He doesn't want to have you agree to his will if you have figured out that it will be comfortable or pleasing to you. He wants you to desire to do his will regardless of what it will cost you. In order to become a man after God's own heart or a woman after God's own heart who delights to do God's will, you have to come to the place of surrender of your own self-will, of doing things your own way, in your own strength, with your own natural abilities or your own natural thought processes. We have to reject the common mentality that I've observed that we have a better idea than God, or that we don't need God's help to please God or to live righteously or to even to do his will. I'll do God's will, some might say, in my own way. Well, God is asking you to cross the bridge of surrender to his will and laying down your own will. Oftentimes, the surrender that's required to do the will of God is a surrender of your own personal comfort level to be willing to do all his will, as it was written about David. In Western mentality, there is a have it your own way type of mentality that I have the right to be physically comfortable at all times, to eat what I want and how much I want and when I want, to live the way I want, to own what I want. And yet, if you examine the life of David and also the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he said these words, which really run counter to that mentality. He said in verse 24 of Acts chapter 20, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." And he was talking about difficulties awaiting him that had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, that if he continued to do the will of God and go in the direction he was going, that a prison and afflictions were going to meet him. But he said, "But none of these things move me, neither do I count my own life dear to myself." And yet in our generation, people really count their lives dear to themselves. They don't want to be uncomfortable in their life. They don't want difficulty in their life. And at all costs, they'll avoid both of the above. And yet, God has called us to be a people that surrender our own personal comfort level in order to do the will of God. One wise man said, "When the will of God crosses the will of man, somebody has to die." Another aspect that's very vital for us to be able to surrender fully to the will of God is a willingness to surrender our personal time. You know, God's will is often very inconvenient to the flesh. Our time is our own is a mentality also that's held by many Western civilization people and even Christians. I have the right to spend my time as I want. Some people will definitely hold to that. But God wants us to cross the bridge of surrender of our own will and our own way, even in the area of time. I've seen people who have been given opportunities to minister and love on people and disciple others, and yet they won't give up their personal time to do what is clearly the will of God, make disciples of all nations. And then the last aspect that I'll mention today is, in order for us to be able to say like David, "I delight to do your will, O God," we have to be able and willing to surrender to God's will in the midst of a trial. I have observed that the one thing most Christians desire in the midst of a trial is to escape it as soon as possible. And yet, when you are going through a trial in your life as a believer, you have to be concerned about one thing: remaining in the will of God in the midst of that trial and doing exactly what His will requires of you. And the only way that that will ever happen in anyone's life is by relying on the grace of God, which will give you power to stay in the midst of that trial, do what is right in the eyes of God, respond in a godly way, walk in love in the midst of the pressure, and all of that, and not run away from the situation, but allow God to work in you and in other people through the midst of the trial that you're in. How does a person come to the place of surrender so that they can truly say, like David, I delight to do your will, O God? Well, the first number one step is to recognize you cannot do anything without God. Nothing. Not even surrender to the will of God. Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. So you can begin by simply telling the Lord, God, I recognize I can't stay in the center of your will. I can't do the will of God without you. I want to just abide in you so that I have your strength to draw upon and I'm able to walk in your perfect will. Give me that grace. And that is actually the second part. You need to claim the grace of God that is promised to us, that when we are in a difficulty, we can run to the throne of grace to receive help in time of need and grace in time of need. That's available to us. We can claim that as our promised right from the Lord. And also, it's important to claim the promise given to us in Philippians 2:13, which says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He works in you the will to do his will. I will, like David said, I delight to do your will, O God. So it's a choice of my will. I choose to delight to do the will of God. I'm willing to be made willing to do the will of God. So you can claim that promise. Lord, you said in Philippians 2:13 that you're the one who works in me to will and to do for your good pleasure. I want to please you, Lord. I want to do what is right in your sight. I want to do your will, whatever it requires. But I need your grace, your power to do it. And then lastly, choose to pray this prayer of consecration, meaning you're dedicating yourself to the Lord in some area. Say this, and this has helped me. I am willing to be made willing to do all your will. That's my prayer when I'm struggling with something I feel is the will of God, but I don't have the desire to do it. I don't have the strength to do it, and I don't even have the want to do it. But I have the will to do it. My will wants to do what is right in the sight of God. My emotions, my wants may not want to do it. But God will give you grace if you consecrate yourself, dedicate yourself, and pray, I am willing, Lord, to be made willing by you to do all your will. Don't fear to surrender yourself to do his will. God can be trusted. God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life that is wholly yielded to him. That's what Andrew Murray said many years ago, and it's a truth that you can stand on. God is ready to assume responsibility. You don't have to fear to give yourself to the will of God. God's not going to let you fall. He's willing to assume full responsibility for the life that's completely yielded to him and to his will. I want to end with just a few verses of a very powerful poem that was written by a woman named Martha Nicholson, and it's called Christ's Plan for Me. Listen carefully as we close. When I stand at the judgment seat of Christ and he shows me his plan for me, the plan of my life as it might have been had he had his way, and I see how I blocked him here, and I checked him there, and I would not yield my will. Shall I see grief in my Savior's eyes, grief, though he loves me still? No. Lord, of the years that are left to me, I yield them to your hand. Take me, make me, mold me, to the pattern that you have planned. Today, make that consecration. Lord, I'm willing to be made willing to do all your will in my life. God bless you and give you a victorious week.